say. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my down the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Woo-hoo! Happy Friday. Although, Matt, you, I had something completely different I was going to start with, but you look like you've had your third Friday in a row.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You've had two company Christmas whatever holiday parties.
Do I look bad?
You have two more. No, you're just, you got coffee. I'd never see you drink coffee this late in the afternoon.
I have to stay awake tonight.
Yeah, I know.
I'm usually in bed by 9 p.m.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, you know, my day starts at 6 a.m. because I got kids. Your day starts at what, 2 p.m.? And you've got a party tonight, and I'm going to have to rally and ramble to make it to the party. I am not, you know, like you, the rest of you kids in this room who can just gallivant and do as they please with their lives.
Why exactly can you not just sleep in like I do? It's not that hard. I've got actually a little trick because I don't know if you know this.
How do my kids get to school?
I don't have kids. I have dogs, but when they start moving, I just put the blanket over their head and they go back to sleep. Just do that.
Okay.
It's that simple.
It's, you know what? You made a really good point.
Okay,
and
thank you.
You know what? I wish I could go back to today and just do that. That's smart. I'll do it on Monday.
I helped you very much. Since you brought up the party we're having tonight, I feel like I made a mistake in...
I agree.
I mean, we could dig into this so much more for hours.
You mean agreeing to do this show?
Everything in life. But specifically tonight for food, because I went shopping earlier this morning. When I did wake up, 10-ish, we'll say. I went and got stuff, returned home, realized that one, I had no crock pot anymore, and three of the items are crock pot. And then like post-COVID, a lot of what I have are what you would call finger foods. Things you grab with your hands, you dip your hand in a bowl, you grab, you dip, you dip, you dip. A lot of hummus, salsa, queso.
That's perfect when there's a communicable disease floating around.
Yeah, pickles. I even got like the cream cheese, blue cheese, whatever filled olives. All this stuff that I was like, oh, I'll just put all this in bowls. And you know, some of it you can use a spoon, but a lot of it is literally like grab with your hand finger foods. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how to throw a party post-COVID.
I can help you.
Okay.
First of all, if you go into the kitchen right now here at work, one of the drawers is filled to the gills with those tiny throwaway metal tongs that Rudy's barbecue used to bring.
Yeah, when we would get our Friday tacos.
Yeah.
There we go.
So you can steal those little things and take them to your party. How do I know? I've done it before. Secondly, on your way home tonight, just pick up a bunch of toothpicks, and you set toothpicks out everywhere. Or if somebody is using their hands incorrectly, take one of those toothpicks, stuff it into a straw, and hit him in the neck.
Right in the neck. I did buy some toothpicks. I have some toothpicks at home that I use for grilling and stuff like that, so that'll help. But I also, I thought with like the little mini wieners and stuff like that, I would use the pretzels as the tong. And then I realized I bought the bag of pretzels that was clearly at the bottom of whatever 12-pack of beer they had. So all the pretzels when I was trying to prep before, because literally the party's right after the show. I was trying to prep for that. Open the bag. It's all crushed pretzels. You know what? This is going to be it's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Mini wieners?
Mini wieners.
You showing up with your pants off?
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Today is the greatest because in history, as far back as 1922 in this day, we have our very first NFL champion. I did say
really?
1922. I didn't realize the NFL went all the way back to 1922. In my head, it's the late 50s and 60s, but no. Canton Bulldogs claimed the NFL's first title December 10th, 1922. They defeated the Toledo Macaroons. Sorry, no, it's the Toledo Maroons. I made myself misreading that there. 19-0, and were declared the first official NFL champion.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, 19-0. They kicked it into the wind, and those Cuddy Whifters really got him back.
I was there waving my pennant in my raccoon coat.
I didn't realize the NFL went back that far. This is kind of why I brought this story in. I grew up watching your. Do you remember the NFL films with the and the like voiceover?
Yeah.
I grew up watching those and just being like, whoa, this is amazing.
On the cold, frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Precisely,
yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Bart Starr.
Yeah. Dude, when I grew up, I thought, I mean, those films really did make, I think that's why some of us are so attached to football. They made it feel like those were our superheroes, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, those were the guys that you would see on the sidelines during timeouts smoking cigarettes, having pot bellies. They look kind of like you and I, but maybe with a little more actual shoulders and muscle. But it was just, those were the heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thick coaches with thick horn-rim glasses, smoking while they made play calls.
Yeah.
You know, this, and it always... It didn't matter if the game was played, even if it was spring practice, that it was still snow. For some reason, every one of those films was just snow.
No matter where you were, yeah.
The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I have had fun memories of it. Anyway, but you thought that was sort of the beginning of the NFL.
In my head, and it's also something I've never really looked up, but I did... You know,
I think that,
find this, and I was like, "Oh wow!" Since 1922, like I knew college football went way back. I mean, you have in the 1800s, you see where Harvard beat Yale 3-0.
Well, I think what did happen that was really big in the 1950s is, growing toward the combination of the two leagues, the NFL and the AFL, joining together
your first Super Bowl
for the real Super Bowls, later. And then also just the fact that they developed a way to do. The fact that more and more televisions were on houses, that really changed the game.
Yeah, because you could actually watch the Chicago Bears if you lived in wherever you might have lived.
You might have been able to listen on the radio, but I'm going to tell you as somebody who frequently does listen still to football on radio, it's not nearly as good on the radio. It really isn't.
Really? I love listening to football on the radio because if you find a good AM station... with home broadcasters, or you can even get them on apps now. This is me really just trying to plug radio, and please listen more. It's you get the excitement. Oh, he's at the 10. He's at the 20. He's at the 30. He's going backwards. He should be going. It just seems fun. I don't know.
I guess. It's frustrating to me. It's frustrating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously with technology, science, everything, it's changed because you now have kickers that have their own tents. They have electronic devices attached to everything. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, this Canton versus what? The Macadillies?
The Toledo Macadillies! Maroons. But, I mean, we can
call you know, the football...
They lost.
Back then, the football was round. Do you know what I mean? It was like so long ago, and those goofy helmets.
The leather helmets.
Yeah.
The goalpost used to be at the start of the end zone, and then because of head injuries, they had to move it?
Well, they were kind of basing this game off of things like rugby that predated it, when rugby still has the goalpost right there. They don't worry about head injuries, though, in rugby.
No. Those they're Australians like, are mean and tough.
They're like, this makes our team stronger. Faster. Put an extra stick out there somewhere. Put another post. Hey, put some concrete parking blocks out there. Let's have fun.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Time to let Spenny out of his little cave, the dungeon there. It's time for Spentertainment. It's when we ask our producer, Spencer, entertain us somehow. If he does, we let him stay the rest of the show. If he doesn't, back to the dungeon with him. What you got for us today, Spencer?
I decided to go a little more lighthearted story that I found online involving a friendly crow that befriended an entire elementary school in Oregon.
Loving it.
A friendly foul-mouthed crow befriended an entire Oregon elementary school before state police are called in to remove him.
Really?
Oh, I see why. Yeah. The crow's black. dumped that for the hell of it.
Did you really?
Yeah. I don't know. You both, give me the look. I dumped it. There we go.
I thought the fun was that we didn't think it was funny. Anyway, friendly, if somewhat foul-mouthed crow became a temporary mascot at Allendale Elementary School last month when the bird took up residence at the Grants Pass School. People were just like, okay, crow came out of nowhere, started hanging out as soon as the kids showed up at school, started making friends with kids. Exactly. He knew a bunch of words, too. He knew how to say what's up.
Oh, he could talk?
Hello. Yeah, he could talk, too. So it was really confusing to people that half of his vernacular or his vocabulary is like cuss words as well.
But look at this. He's even got a little hat. Spinny sent me a photo of him. Like how they, yeah. This crow was friendly enough that they made him a nice little tiny hat.
He'd perch up on kids. He'd sit on their shoulders or on their heads sometimes, depending on how wacky he was feeling. He would just chill with the kids. And
You're chuggy.
He wasn't aggressive at all. He was making friends. But they're like, well, it's a wild animal invading our school. We should probably call animal control.
State police.
But then animal control was like, know, it's not really in our jurisdiction. So, yeah, they called the Oregon State Police.
And what, a cop came out and just shot it in front of the kids?
Yeah, teach them kids. No. It took several days for the cops to eventually try to capture it, because if you try to capture a crow, they'll remember and they'll avoid you. So they had to send in different dudes, things like that. They eventually captured him at the end of November and released him, I think. So that's about
released
it.
Released him on bail?
Yeah, I sure hope so, man. Anyway, plenty of fun pictures to be had. That's the only one they featured in the article. Maybe we'll post it somewhere. But
what a
cute
holiday.
Little story, fun little treats.
A magical talking crow.
Who cusses?
There we go.
You made me happy. You can stay out of the dungeon,
Spenny.
Thank you. Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Attention, all you superhero moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever you are in that parent pickup line, this one's for you. Guys, I can't believe this, but out in California, a mom was arrested for encouraging her daughter during a basketball game.
Okay. How bad did she encourage? Was she
this
yelling
is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Swear words?
No.
Getting mad?
No.
Okay.
Just encouraged her daughter, and they arrested her. That's what communist country that, California has become.
They just give everyone a trophy now. Everyone get that trophy. They ain't got a score.
High school basketball game. A La Puente mother is facing jail time after prosecutors say she encouraged her daughter during a youth basketball game in Garden Grove. Yeah, her name is Latrira Hunt, just off by one letter. Has been charged with one misdemeanor count of contributing to the delinquency of a minor and one misdemeanor count of battery. Oh, I didn't read the whole sentence. Encouraging her daughter to hit another child during a basketball game.
Okay. Now we got the hook.
Yeah, I screwed up. Would you like to see a little quick video of this?
Would love to.
Here you go. Her daughter coming in down here. She takes a three-point shot. See her?
Goes down.
Yeah.
Called the foul.
Now listen.
She failed.
Oh!
Oh my goodness!
Oh!
Yeah.
Holy crap. Ooh.
That is...
Knocked the crap out of her. Okay.
That's one child who's probably 6'1", and another one who's maybe 4'9". And you heard the mother clearly yell, "You better hit her for that." What had happened is the girl ran across the court to try to block a three-point shot. When she came
came down underneath
the shot taker, which could have been a foul. They didn't call it, and caused them both to fall. But there wasn't really even body contact other than their feet get caught up a little bit. And you hear mom yell, "You better hit her for it." And the minute she hears it, the girl hauls off. And I mean, that's a horrific punch.
That is that's a bad foul. It reminds me of the only time my dad ever aggressively yelled at me during a game. I got into a fight in a football game. I think I was probably in fourth grade, but I took my helmet off, and the guy I was going to fight left his helmet on, and my dad goes, Hey, Casey, put your helmet on! So just yelled at me to put my helmet on, which I did, and then we got into a fight. Yeah.
Well, I think he was just encouraging. He was just encouraging you not to rack up bigger dental bills for him.
Yeah,
all
to
he was
get my
doing.
Ass knocked out.
Yeah. I've seen all kinds of videos: parents fighting with one another on playgrounds over games, parents fighting with the refs. But I think this might be the first instance where I saw a parent command another child to go off and sucker punch another child. It's kind of horrific. And I'm wondering,
this almost should have been our people behaving badly.
Well, I know, but I really wanted it here instead. And I'm wondering if people are seeing more and more of this. I'm not, luckily am raising two children who are afraid of moving their bodies. So I haven't had to spend any Saturdays watching any kind of games or whatever, because both of my kids, really their hobbies are reading and crying. So, and that's not that competitive, really. But I will say, it's nice to see my kids taken after their old man.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
According to more clickbait, millennials love being old. And I connected with this story because as a kid, I used to, when my parents would leave, my number one favorite thing was to play my dad's music because he had a big old school radio, record player, speakers, all that. But for some reason, my second favorite thing was to clean, and a new survey at some clickbait site says that 70% of millennials enjoy the holiday more because they get to cook and clean.
What?
Yes. Baby boomers love taking jabs at millennials, but just maybe they're starting to grow up and become a little closer. In a new survey, 60% of millennials between the ages of 25 and 40 say they enjoy the holiday memories they make as adults because they get to do more adult things. Some of that being cooking, cleaning, maybe hosting parties. I don't know. 70% say they really enjoy doing it around the holidays.
Is it because I feel like the millennial generation had the most delayed onset of
adulthood?
Yeah, I mean, they came up with the term adulting as like it was funny to do grown-up things when you were 29 or 30 or supposedly should be an adult anyway, right?
Yeah.
So is that why, I mean, these things seem quaint or fun because they just haven't done as much as they should have, maybe?
I love the word quaint because it does seem that.
Like, oh, it'll be fun. We'll cook a meal. We'll clean. It'll be like crazy.
And another thing.
Meanwhile, most of the world is just doing that every day.
Because it's part of your regular routine.
It's part of how you live your life. Yeah.
Not just having friends come over to your condo to host for a little thing like that. But yeah, they say they love it. 75% of millennials, as a matter of fact, say they're really motivated and excited to do cooking and cleaning around the holidays.
I got to get more millennials over to the house.
I feel like there's also, you mentioned something earlier about just the difference, and you and I are not maybe a decade apart in age.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Not that much, but I'm not the first, but I'm definitely in the middle of people that, how long did you go to the University of Texas?
75 years.
Okay, well, I was going to say...
It took me 5 years to graduate.
I feel like everyone older than me did 3, 4, or 5 years of college, whereas I did a healthy 7, maybe 8.
Yeah.
I think there is kind of that thing, too, where we call it the Peter Pan syndrome.
I know. Yeah. I was incredibly Peter Pan. In fact, I'm only not a millennial because of my birthday. You know what I mean? Everything else, I fully embraced. I was a trailblazer for millennials. I was very good at, like, I don't want to grow up. Growing up sucks. Then I accidentally got married and then had
kids and grew up. Yeah,
and then you have to overnight, because you don't want your kids being more adult than you.
Yeah, very true. All right, well, there we go. Cleaning, cooking, apparently cool, I guess.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Yeah, sports, we know it, we love it, we talk about it. Matt doesn't know it, so we compete together and do little bets, which you are still 6-2.
I am.
You've only lost two times.
And really, losses.
I mean, yes, you
only in that I didn't win.
But you did have to recently brush your teeth with a shoe. I've still got punishments I have to do because we've got an entire punishment wheel waiting.
No, we don't.
Oh, wait. That's right. We're Innovative Radio.
Yeah.
We're original. We're not hacks. We've got Punishment Plinko.
Yeah, baby.
With a lot of stuff that actually Spencer came up with on it, and it's not fun. Even though I cheated during that arm wedgie, the rope burn, still hurt.
Sorry.
Good.
Well, who's going to get punished next week? Let's find out now.
All right.
The 10X Fantasy League features...
This one has nothing to do with sports, and that's why it bothers me.
Yeah, dude. Everyone loves talking about fantasy football.
Boy, don't
when
they.
It's their own team and no
and
one
that's
cares
it.
About
yeah.
that. It's the same as I think you've made
crypto.
This joke. Not just crypto, but anyone that talks about like a drug trip story.
Yeah.
You only that person cares about it.
Yeah.
No one else does. So in the 101X Fantasy Football League, this is the end of the season, right before the playoffs. Who wins? First place, 9-4, Lawless, our boss, versus second place, 9-4, CJ Morgan.
Mm.
The boss or your coworker, your buddy, your comrade.
The smart move here is to say that our boss is infallible and there's no way he could lose, so I side with Lawless.
Okay. You've made a good choice because last night was the first game, and he's already beating me 25-1.
Hell yes.
So it's not great.
Love it.
In UFC, the lightweight championship features new champ Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier. Dustin's known as a hard hitter. Oliveira comes from Brazil and is a very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. Who wins that fight?
Oliveira.
Oliveira?
Yep.
Circling that. OU new coach Brent Venables, a
yep.
well-known defensive coordinator, got a 6-year contract over or under $41 million.
Wait, did we already get it?
Over or under $41 million?
Over.
Over? God yeah. damn it, yeah.
It's $44 million, right?
You got one right already.
Yeah.
MLS Championship, we've got the Portland Timbers or New York City FC. Portland, who Austin FC has beaten a couple
I'm
of times.
Going,
we love Portland. New York City FC, they've actually upset a lot of folks to get here.
I know, but I'm going to go with Portland.
Portland Timbers.
I don't think that... Aaron Haley would forgive me if I didn't root for the Portland Timbers.
Oh, he's let us know he doesn't listen anymore. But I do. I'm a Portland Timbers fan before Austin FC, so thanks a lot. Now I have to root against him. Okay, here we go. NBA, who will be atop the Pacific Division and the Western Conference come Monday? The Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns? Do you like how I do a radio voice when reading
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like this question. I'm going to say Golden State, though I really feel wrong by saying that.
I did not cheat you on this. They're both have a tied record and play each other this weekend.
No, I know,
so,
I know. But yeah, I'm just yeah. saying, like, I don't know. I just don't feel good about Golden State this year for some reason. But I'm going with them anyway. They have the most experience.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
It's December 10th. That means today is premiere day on Netflix for 20-somethings Austin. We
yeah.
talked about it before
yes.
on our show that a new reality program was coming to Austin, a show called 20-somethings. What happens when you just take a bunch of 20-somethings and throw them together in a house? Now, you can,
I don't
get,
know.
A, you can get a time machine and go back 20 years and ask the real world Austin what happens. But, you know, each generation needs its own.
What is that building now? A spaghetti warehouse or something like that? Or
oh.
Vince Young Steaks? Oh, I don't know. Point being, it's back. Young people hooking up, dating, going around 6th Street, having fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people, Rosie Neinsling from Austin Monthly. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Rosie. But she says, does it look cringy? Yes. Is it binge-worthy? Also, yes. And I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get over my really cocky self And I'm going to watch it because I think it's important to do for this show. Plus, I love trash TV, and I think this could be really fun. You know, right?
I mean, the Circle and F-Boy Island actually turned out to be bad good.
Yeah.
Well, in the way that grumps like us.
This
like.
Reviewer, Rosie, points out that, you know, is it you know, reality television? No, it's a house full of 20-somethings that are all underemployed or unemployed, and they're living in a modern farmhouse downtown. They're like, no, this would never happen. You would never have a house this nice and be unemployed and just wandering around. And now one of the things is that there's a guy who's just moved here from California who's pursuing becoming a comedian. That's actually happens every hour in this town. So strangely enough, that it used to be people went to California to become comics.
Yeah, plenty of BYOB gas stations where he can do open mics.
Exactly. She does point out that they really, really, the producers really try to overemphasize the whole Austin's weird man thing. They just constant mentions of weirdness and how crazy everything is in Austin. It's so weird, bro. So those will be things we can roll our eyes at, but also I think we probably all will end up enjoying. And then, you know, fingers crossed that at least one of them gets in kind of a...
Arrested?
No, I was going to say a screwed up torrid love affair with some local here that we get to hear about in the trades come, I don't know. So the premiere episode is today, and then I think they're dropping one a week.
Also, got to give a shout out to our friend, coworker Ian, and the band Nane and Daniel. They were in that.
I just found out that today.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah.
How are they in it?
They're playing and they're performing at someplace.
Hopefully playing music and not getting into a torrid love affair since they both are in relationships. but also young, cool dudes in a band having fun. So, yeah, shout out to Nane.
Oh, man. Someone's going to get shot at. Someone's going to get shot at in the group. I just feel it because I think they do their. I think they go down to Dirty Six in a couple episodes, and it's just Dirty Six, camera crews, attention. It's just a mix for something bad happening. Anyway, I would love to say I'm above it, but if you're above it, take that S over to KUT. We're having fun over here, damn it.
Please don't take stuff to KUT. Stay here on 101X with Just Matt and CJ.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
To quote Half-Baked, F you, Matt. F you, best friend Gus. F you, my fiance Lisa. Spinny, you're cool.
Oh,
turns out I've been proven right thanks to an article that Spencer sent me. Investing in Lego is actually more lucrative than gold, a study suggests.
Suggests? What does that mean?
It means
A study suggests it's more lucrative than gold.
Don't mince words with me here.
I'm not. I'm asking you to not mince words.
Can I tell you I'm upset about having you over tonight? Because usually I take a can duster and dust off all my Lego sets, and I really wanted you to see them in all their light, but I haven't. So investing in Lego is more lucrative than gold, art, and wine, according to a study. Doesn't cite the study. I'll open click that.
Done by Dan D. Brickman.
Yeah, some dude that I buy all this stuff from. But it found the market for secondhand Lego rises in value by 11% annually, which says it's faster and a better rate of return than gold, stocks, bonds, stamps, and wine. Researchers at the Higher School of Economics in Russia.
Okay,
this sounds like a web scam.
Here we go.
Russia just trying to mess with us, man.
I can tell you you're
looking for Lego. You want the Lego.
As a longtime Lego investor, this is very true.
Why didn't you just say as a virgin?
Because we know that's not true.
I mean, I do have a fiance that doesn't sleep with me. But anyhow, I will say early in the days of Lego, running actually probably to 2016, you could buy Lego sets, sit on them for a year or two.
That's going to hurt.
And then, you have to be so immature.
Yeah, that's how you get cellulite.
trying to talk about wise investments. But Legos are, they're no longer that, especially like sets I collect, like the Star Wars Lego sets. They reissue stuff. They'll say they're limited, they're sold out. They only do like exclusive, they retire sets, but then bring them back a year later. So Lego, the company, used to create an actual demand for sets to where if you bought them, it'd be like, oh, I have two of these. I can sell them right away. I'm like, because I might have, you know, tried to buy one and buy another to flip. But then I never flipped it. I just kept it and built it.
Are you saying they're flooding their own market? That's downright Beanie Baby of them.
Yeah, don't compare Lego to Beanie Baby, but they flooded their own market. They saturated it with a lot of classic reissued sets. Also, Takedown, like I was telling Spinny earlier, they've done a Millennium Falcon 3 times in the last 3 years.
That's so uncool.
Shut up, Matt!
He's having a good time, at least. I think he's getting a little delirious. He's got the cedar fever today. He's been at four parties already.
Your son
month.
Has Legos.
Yeah.
Also,
you're right.
I don't know how old he is.
I also, I think Christmas last year or his birthday, I bought him a Star Wars Lego set. And I was like sitting in the pile with all the kids and I was really excited because it was one of those that it's not just a Lego set, but they like shoot things. And I'm like, oh, he's at that age where you want to press a button and it shoots, it does this. And he opens, like, oh, this is cool. And then literally the kid after me got him a better Lego set from some other genre, and he just took mine and put it.
You
should have
known better,
behind.
CJ. You should have known better, man.
I guess I should now, but yeah, your son sucks.
Yeah, okay. No. Seeing you sitting cross-legged on the floor, sad. He could only be consoled with an extra scoop of ice cream with his cake. You should have seen him, Spencer.
Poor
he was
CJ.
So sad. Aww. He was like, I want to go. I want my mom to come get me. He's like, what, we're getting ready to play Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Don't you want
to
play?
This is kind of embarrassing because to add to the nerd report, Matt's son does request one adult, quote unquote, be at his parties, and it's me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my fiance loves hanging out with Matt and his wife, but
my son's always like, can Lego CJ come over?
Lego CJ. And
yeah,
we're
love like, that. Okay, because I was like, we'll hang out with his fiance, I still think it's still incredible the video we have panning over the heads of all these kids lined up to hit the pinata one year, and it's just panning, and it's little kid, little kid, little kid, and all of a sudden you have to back way up, and there's CJ standing at the end of the line.
Jumping and going, yeah!
Yeah, and EJ was even like, why do I have to be at the end of the line? I was like, I don't know, because you're a 230-pound man who's going to swing a stick at this tiny pinata, and maybe that's the end of the game.
I also ruined my dress shoes at that specific party, but had a fun time because your son and I organized a game of...
You just said I ruined my dress shoes at that playing at that kid's party.
I did. They're still covered in grass. Same with my jeans I was wearing.
Man, you
got to
get out there, get some sun, have some fun.
Maybe you should have been playing Nerf.
He had a bunch of Nerf guns. Yes, he did.
Oh, dude.
And we were doing girls against boys, but the girls were a lot older, so I rounded the young kids up and I said, hey, here's what we got to do.
It's a strat.
And there was a moment where we were getting shot at a lot, and your son started running away, and I said, no, we got to grab that ammo and then back off behind here and make him think, you know what? Okay, can I come over to your house again?
This is actually
the most fun I've ever had.
Absolutely.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So great news for all of you folks out there that love to put on your City Witch hats and your boots that you wear once a year and head out to Marfa.
Ooh, it's fall.
You no longer have to travel as far because the iconic Italian fashion brand Prada is heading right here to Austin.
Oh, so no more Prada Marfa in the middle of a highway where occasionally you might be trying to just drive through.
Haven't announced exactly where they're building, or at least I don't see it in this article, exactly where they're building the new Prada Austin. But apparently Gucci is coming to the capital city and Prada is hot on their heels. I kind of want the idea because there is that Prada Marfa. I really like the idea of them not building this somewhere like the Domain or downtown and doing like Prada, Prada Montopolis, just putting the store on Montopolis, and you know, Adam can be out there. What's up, fools?
Hey, wait.
What's up, dogs?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, Austin is changing a bit. So, you know, the reputation we had of being a bunch of crunchy, weirdo granolas or cosmic cowboys is certainly making way. There's a lot of money here. There's a lot of young people with a lot of money because of the tech industry. And I guess they realize that, I mean, Prada probably really survives on young, stupid people with money because, I mean, who else is going to pay $2,000 for a pair of shoes?
I'm going to say my first time visiting New York City, my fiance took me to all the attractions, and you could actually get Prada really cheap in New York. You just have to do it in the big city, I think.
That's
and
right.
And have to do it on the... Oh, same in Las Vegas, right on the street.
$20 for a Rolex is pretty good deal.
See?
Yeah, it is. I mean, did you ever think you would Austin would be a hot spot? I mean... Basically, you used to drive to Dallas if you wanted to go do fancy shopping, right?
Yes. When I lived in San Marcos, I had a girlfriend at the time that her favorite thing was a type of purse. I forget what it was. But essentially, I had to buy that purse at the Galleria in Dallas. Does that sound familiar? Am I right?
Yeah, there's a Galleria
or another one in Houston. Basically, every year, I had to go and get a, what's the V, Versace? And it's not Versace. It doesn't matter what it is, but she liked a certain type of purse, and I couldn't get it in San Antonio. I couldn't get it in Austin. I had to go to Dallas or Houston, and usually like Dallas-Fort Worth was on my way back home during Christmas, and had to do that. Not anymore.
Yeah.
No. Well, we got a Lego store here now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's all that matters. Woo!
It is, I don't know, it's just sort of astounding to me still to see something like Prada coming to Austin. Maybe I shouldn't be angry. I'm not angry about it. It just is, to me, it just seems kind of, I don't know where they would put it. What are they going to do? Like South Congress, maybe? The last time
Domain.
I don't know that you're right. I think it could be South Congress. South Congress has become kind of a really hip zone for some high-end gear because, honestly, the last time I was on South Congress, every store I stopped in, whoever was working there asked me, so where are you from? Literally every single person. And I would say, I don't know, like just
over there, by 183,
just east of the freeway,
Lundberg,
and they would say like, "Oh, you're from Austin," and like they seemed shocked almost that you were from Austin shopping there, and maybe that's going to be the locale for all that stuff, and I don't know, it's weird though, it's weird to me.
Hey, Prada's here now. I don't have to go as far to buy it. Way overpriced.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It has been dubbed Pine 11. Matt Bearden came up with the perpetrator of the Fox News Christmas tree being burned down by Santifa. And now the Daily Show has got us a delicious mix of exactly how they reported on their Christmas tree being burned down allegedly by a mentally ill homeless person, which they promptly blamed, I guess, on the opposite political party.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't have cable, so I don't see any of the cable news shows.
Well, here is a compilation of several Fox News shows talking about
lamenting
the disaster.
The disaster.
Oh! Pine 11.
Breaking news a few moments ago. This is at Fox Square in New York. This is our All-American Christmas tree.
Sad news. Our very own beautiful 50-foot Fox News Christmas tree was destroyed.
A suspect set fire to the Fox All-American Christmas tree, defacing the symbol of peace and joy.
It's not just a Fox News tree. This was America's tree.
It's about the Christmas spirit. It is about the holiday season. It's about Jesus, it's about Hanukkah, it is about everything that we stand for as a country.
The DOJ can tell you precisely how many Qurans were burned last year in the United States, but they don't keep track of Christmas trees.
Who says it's not a hate crime against us, against Fox News?
It's about evil. It's about good versus evil, period.
It is so terrifying as a mother and someone who loves this country and loves the red, white, and blue. What is happening?
Obviously, the music underneath was added to add dramatic effect, but it is pretty dramatic, especially since this Fox News America First Christmas tree. Guess how long this heartwarming American tradition has been around?
Was this the first year?
2019. So,
oh, okay.
Right on.
Not long, but also just some of the comments, like it represents Hanukkah. It's just, I think you brought that in the other day. Just,
well,
how
also,
ridiculous
I think it's
it
odd
is.
That she said it represents Jesus. I mean, the tree, the church has tried to get the tree removed from Christmas celebrations for almost 2,000 years. It's an old pagan symbol that was brought into the holiday.
To Christianity, because the Roman Empire did a lot of that, combining pagan traditions with...
Yeah,
with-
so, Look, I get it. You feel personally attacked if somebody burns a tree down at your office. Of course, we work... at a building that's on Runberg, so the amount
things
of stuff
randomly
the amount of stuff that's been burned on our
stolen.
Property, stolen the windows that have been busted out of cars or whatever. I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for them because of the stuff that I deal with. I will say that it was probably one of my favorite memories of being here on the great Radio Ranch campus is the time very recently.
When the shed burnt down?
No. That somebody found a giant two-handed broadsword and was like, oh, CJ left a sword here. And then they brought it to you and you were like, that's not mine. So
it was also behind the dumpsters.
Yeah, no, somebody else just randomly left a giant sword on
a
our property.
A broken broadsword that is sharp as, pretty sharp, not too rusted.
Yeah.
I kept that sword. I still have it in my office.
Hell yeah. Is it going to be at the party tonight?
Yeah, it's a murder weapon that somebody couldn't... was so happy that you put your fingerprints all over.
Anyway. And now I use it to protect and defend myself.
Have they made any notes whether they're going to rebuild the tree at Fox News Center?
Apparently it's already up. They've already rebuilt the tree. I do love that Tucker Carlson quote where he says, we already know how many Korans get burnt every year in America. I did a quick Google search of that, and we don't know how many Korans get
burnt in America. Hey, man, that's a satire show. It's not news. It's not real.
But then he talked about, but we do not know how many Christmas trees get burned. Okay, I'm from Amarillo, Texas. And I can tell you that statistic is impossible to keep track of because as high school kids, we would gather all the Christmas trees we could that were tossed out on the curbs to be recycled, made into mulch, and have bonfires with them.
Well, also when he says we have no idea how many Christmas trees are burned each year, it doesn't take, it's not that much work. Google apartment fire Christmas tree and find out how many people are left homeless every year after a tree goes up in flames and then completely burns an apartment complex to the ground. It happens every single year. I mean, not always on purpose.
It's tradition.
It is tradition. It's part of the holidays, damn it.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
We got another people behaving badly that is not the subject of the people on video necessarily. It's the person filming it actually being funny and trolling some TikTokers / influencers in Los Angeles.
What do you mean by that?
There was a group of people doing some kind of dance, some sort of thing, and this dude and a buddy went up to them and started videotaping and taking pictures of them, and they kind of got annoyed by it. So it was just counter-trolling. I don't know what you want to call that.
Oh, so he jumped. They are trying to film their influencing videos or whatever, and he was getting involved in their influence.
Yes, and annoying them.
What do you call a group of influencers? You know what I mean? Like you have
a gaggle of influencers.
I know. I want a good name for it. Somebody said that anytime that any group of six or more white men is called a podcast. I saw that somewhere, which
God,
is really funny.
Last podcast on the left. Let's just get that there. Anyhow.
What I want is I want to come up with a there needs to, well, while we listen to this clip, I'll try to come up with what do you call a group of influencers. But the so he just gets involved, and then I'm assuming that the influencers get mad.
So this is a dude and his buddy. The buddy's videotaping. He has a camera. He's taking pictures, and the video is about 5 to 6 influencers doing influency stuff around
they're
LA.
They're influencing, obviously.
Let's just listen to it.
Oh, can I work with y'all? Can we do like a collab?
Not at all.
I'm a photographer too, y'all. My fashion name is Draco Malfoy.
Are you paying us for this? I don't think you are.
Y'all look famous.
Walk away. You need to move before I like break your
We're not doing that.
But you look famous.
Walk. Who are you?
I'm with the Hollywood Fit.
We see the cops right here, so if you would like us to get them on you, we can definitely do that. We're working. Walk away. Walk away.
I don't want
you?
Any problem.
Walk away. Away.
I'm Draco Malfoy.
I don't give a who you are. You need to get out of here.
But y'all are popping.
What are you filming for?
Oh, I'm just trying to, like, I'm with the Hollywood Fix. I have 1,000 on TikTok.
You're with Hollywood Fix?
I have 1,000 on TikTok.
Okay, cool.
No, don't get me on camera. No, no.
What's the
Hollywood
Fix number?
No. Oh, please don't ask for Ryan.
What the respect is? Respect. Respect is not that hard. Isn't that hard?
They're being a-holes to him, and they're like, listen, it's all about respect. Do you understand? Don't you get it? And they've just been jerks to him the entire time before he even ramped up.
I've done similar things during South By, back before South By was even called South By. It used to be South By Southwest. But just to pretend to be like a famous influencer and just like kind of go to these camera people doing this stuff. So this, I find this very hilarious. Counter trolling is the term I use for it.
I'm in love with this so far. It always gives me really weird. It's weird. The last trip I took to the beach, which might have been like at the very beginning of COVID, before we knew what was going on, kind of thing. I remember watching a woman had her husband taking pictures. He was such a I don't know where his sack was. Do you know what I mean?
C-U-C-K.
Simp.
But I just had, like, every morning she would go out in a different outfit, and he kept having to take these pictures. And then they had all these foofy umbrellas they kept putting up, and God, it was so cringy.
Okay.
But I kept getting up early every morning with, you know, like a Miller Lite that I'd crack open at 8 a.m. and sit there and watch him put this stuff up and take pictures.
The cringiest of cringe that I experienced was I did my best to try to kind of be a participant. Do you remember last year when a lot of protests were happening downtown?
No, don't remember
however,
at all. Protests? What?
In the midst of all this, I kept finding hilarious situations, and one of the many moments I went viral was finding a person, and there's an Instagram account called Influencers in the Wild.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
And it was someone who, while there are people marching and doing this, and there are police officers with bicycles cornering them and moving people away, and this woman's like taking a photo, like has a peace sign out, and she's doing this, and I just got a picture of that. I shouldn't have. I felt weird doing it, but it was hilarious.
It sounds funny. Is there more from this particular fight?
Let's see.
I'm clouded though. I have 1,000 on TikTok.
1,000 on TikTok. We got millions. They don't give a f- about your TikTok fans.
Bro, but I thought I was popping. That's why I moved out to LA.
All that.
Why are you so thirsty over there?
I'm clout thirsty.
I will break it down.
Because I'll break that.
I'm clout thirsty.
I know you will. You're a big body.
Oh, yeah, I am. And really, nothing, actually.
I'm so scared.
Did he just call him a big body?
I'm only calling.
He did.
No. 4K magic.
There we go. TikTokers. What do we call them? Influence hungry people. I don't know.
You mean clout thirsties?
Clout thirsties.
a clout of influencers is what it was.
I love that dude that goes, I've got 1,000 TikTokers.
He just goes, I've got 1,000 on TikTok. I've got 1,000 on TikTok. We've got millions.
Man,
I thought I was popping. Sorry.
I went TikTok viral recently. I totally didn't. It only had several thousand views, but I added that to my LinkedIn. And I did go viral in the sense that my LinkedIn is now, I'm being added by a ton of people I don't know, because I'm technically an influencer because I said went viral on TikTok.
Oh, and that's what—that's just what people are searching or whatever.
I now, added that on my job on LinkedIn. I will show you this.
It's so great. That's so great. Oh, God. The things that we find important now. Oh, uncomfortable. America, America, this is
you. 101X, Matt and CJ. It is that time of the day where you can, as we say on the show,
win something.
That's right. We've been giving away some delicious Frank's Red Hot Original Micheladas, which we are currently drinking. 512-835-1015 if you want to win some for yourself. Matt, what are we doing today?
Same thing. Famous Frank's. It's the very last round, and this is actually called Famous Frank's Recycled. I'm taking some of my favorite questions from this week. If you have a leg up if you were listening this week, and these are trivia questions, and you just have to name the famous Frank I'm referring to. So that's it.
Sounds simple enough. And I will say your study this week hasn't necessarily proven something that we thought, because you used to host a thing called Super Simple Trivia.
Right.
And you thought that females
got it. They're generally smarter.
And males didn't. And this week has been kind of tough because there hasn't been a lot to see that. But I actually went through the tapes the other day. And you're 100% right. The females that do Super Simple Trivia, as Frank's famous trivia will prove to us now. But let's see. Let's get some humans on the phone. First and foremost, caller.
Nailed it. Love it.
That sounds really good. Let's check another line.
You didn't give out the number yet.
Yeah.
I did. 512-835-1015. Our phones are actually crapping out live on the radio, so.
Is that, I noticed that there was a guy who pulled a bunch of cable out of the building today, literally.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Yeah.
Was he working on the phones?
Whoops. Well, how about Spinny and I go head to head and then.
Sure. I would love to be.
We get it.
Never mind.
The phones aren't lighting up and nothing's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man.
We're stuck with this.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I don't know what to do.
Spinny and I compete.
No, that sounds dumb.
Yeah, we already heard literally all of them earlier this week, you know? this is not uncomfortable.
I'll try it again, but every time I answer, it hangs up on him. Okay. Caller, hey! Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark, glad you're here. Don't hang up. Are you over the age of 21?
Yes, sir.
Cool, cool. Hey, caller, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my name is Mark.
No, Mark, not the other human I just talked to. Who are you?
I'm Dan. No, I'm the same Mark you just talked to. I don't get it.
If your name is Mark, don't talk.
Hang up on him.
Who is the person? Who is the person who is not Mark?
Me.
Hang up on all of them. I'm done. Today has infuriated
ladies,
me.
Ladies, call a
stat. Infuriated me. Nobody was lined up already on the phones. Then those guys fought. This is absolutely wheels coming off on a Friday.
Hey, caller, who's this?
This is Gage.
Hey, congrats, dude. You win some stuff. We're going to put you on the phone. That's it. That's what we're going to do.
Win something.
Matt and CJ. 101X.
You can soon be able to see without reading glasses. In fact, when I say soon, this actually went into effect yesterday. FDA has approved eye drops that can replace reading glasses. That's today's Weird or Wired. Yeah, it's called Vuity. And the FDA basically just said, go for it. And it's for something that's called over 40 vision. And... You haven't turned 40 yet. I just, when I turned 40.
No, I'm 27.
Literally, like, I don't know, 15 minutes after I turned 40, I suddenly couldn't read my phone. And then it's weird because you have to hold your phone further and further away.
A distance away, yeah.
And then now you see, I carry these readers around because at the end of the day, I can't see. And it makes you feel like a really old man to have reading glasses. And it's for this kind of vision specifically. You just put a drop in each eye, and in about 15 minutes, you can see just fine. And it lasts from 6 to 10 hours, according to the company. They went through a clinical trial over the last 2 years. People said, hey, it's awesome. And they would, you know, a lot of people, like, I don't have, like, if you have real glasses, you have them on all the time or you know where they are. If you have these cheap readers, you lose them constantly because you're only using them occasionally.
Briefly, yeah. My fiance, who has had LASIK, Man Eye Institute, shout out to a sponsor. Thank you for the money. Sorry, that got weird. Point being, she still has to wear like a certain type of glasses because of looking at a screen or, like you said, readers.
Right.
When looking at your phone or something like that.
Yeah, so... they are now available. They're not over the counter. You have to have a prescription for them. But they basically are in so many people between the ages of like 40 and 65. They say that once you get older than that, it really doesn't help. And it works by the condition's called presbyopia. I don't know, something. And that works by reducing the pupil size in your eyes. The side effects include headaches, bloody stool, and your toenails fall off.
Okay, so, you know, usual stuff that happens when you turn that age.
No, it's just a red eyes is really the only side effect. Here's the problem, though. A 30-day supply of the drug... $80. 30-day supply, $80. Insurance not only doesn't cover it, but probably never will cover it because they say it's not medically necessary.
Needed to be able to see.
You see these readers that I'm wearing right now?
Yeah.
It costs $1.25. I get them on Amazon in a package of like five for $10.
Whatever.
And I just leave them everywhere. And then eventually when I'm walking around, I realize, oh, I'm down to one pair. I just order more of them, and they get lost everywhere. At $10 a piece, doing that maybe once a year, I'm just going to stick with these things. If nothing else, you know, look, they'll make me look very young and hip, but, you know, sometimes the ladies out there, they're into the professors and the zaddies.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to work that magic. I'm going to go ahead and call this one weird. I thought it was going to be a wired for sure, but... $80 a month just for eye drops? Come on. Come on, fool.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons 101X.